This morning, I know you're going to be encouraged. It's something that it's just, once in a while, we need to just be reminded, just kind of revitalized a little bit in our faith, in our walk with God, and pump back up again so we know the direction that we're going. But let's start by prayer. Father God, we're opening our lives up to you right here and now, Father. I just ask that your word penetrate hearts, that you speak through us and to us, Lord, about who you are and the direction you're leading us to. I pray for those just the spirits of encouragement and wisdom to fall into our hearts, Father, in a way that allows us to see and to know the direction that you want to take us, Lord. And I pray for 2019, Lord, that this year be filled with things beyond our wildest imaginations, beyond what we have put in motion already, beyond what we think it's going to be, and that, Lord, it will just exceed those expectations, Lord. But I pray, help us to maintain an expectation, an expectancy for what you're going to do in this coming year, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. You know, you are well able to overcome. You're well able to prosper. You're well able to conquer things that have come against you in 2019. And this morning, I believe I'm going to give you some encouragement, some things that will help to motivate you to get her done. Okay? As the old farmer boy in me says, let's just go get her done, right? Let's get some things done in 2019 that maybe have been on the plate. Maybe there are things that we have had around in our mind, in our heart for many years. Some of it are things that have been kind of holding us back. We need to get rid of that this year. Things that have been, you know, out there is kind of this carrot out in front of us that we've always kind of wondered about and always kind of thought about. Let this be that year that we go for that carrot and actually get a hold of it. Let's do some things. I have a young friend I was going to tell you about. He's about 20 years old, kind of a young guy. But he was telling me about his bucket list. Okay, he's 20 years old with a bucket list. You can imagine some of the things that were on there. But it wasn't too bad. One of them was he wanted to go watch his favorite college basketball team, which is not UW for some reason, but he wanted to go watch his favorite college basketball team play their rival. Okay, so him and a friend packed their bags, and off they go. They drove several hours, 6-8 hours, to go to this place to watch his favorite team play ball. He took the next step, and since his friend had kind of helped him fulfill that, he wanted to do something for them. So at a different time, they packed their bags and they went to where his friend wanted to go to watch his favorite team. Okay, so they kind of go back and forth about helping each other to fulfill their bucket list. My friend went so far as he had, at UW, he had some friends that were from out of state and they were from big city stuff. They had never really even seen antelope before. And so they kind of wanted to know about, you know, big game hunting. They were really seriously interested in this stuff because this guy is really into that. And so he made it happen. He helped them. You got to apply for tags many months ahead of time and, you know, come up with the funding and then plan out those hunts and all that. And he helped them and he guided them to each harvest their antelope and then take it back and figured out how to cut it up and make it into jerky and do all that. His friends, I talked to my friend's dad and he said those friends were ecstatic about the ability to be able to do all that. And my friend is the one that made that happen. He helped fulfill things on their bucket list. Now, these bucket lists are not things that are filled with a bunch of outrageous things, but they were simply things that they wanted to get done in their lifetime, something they wanted to experience, something new, something different. I don't know about you guys. I filled out a little questionnaire on retirement stuff the other day, and it was kind of a calculator to figure out how much I might need if I ever retire. I don't know how you retire from ministry, but someday I might want to travel or do something else. And so I was kind of filling this thing out, and I get to the end, and it pulls up this number on what your life expectancy is, and I'm over halfway there. And so it's kind of like this wake-up call that, you know what? I got some things I need to get done. I got some things, and I think that was just a couple nights ago. This message was already in motion, but it really kicks that motivation in for me that says, you know what? Let's get busy. I got guys, friends that are 20 years old fulfilling their bucket list. Praise God that they're working on that at a young age. I waited till I got pretty old to start working on these things now. But after being at this point, I certainly know that I still have a lot of things that I would like to accomplish, and I know that there are God dreams, there are deep-rooted spiritual visions down inside of me that I know that God wants to accomplish even more than I do. Okay? And those are certainly at the top of my priority list when it comes to making that bucket list. What does God want ministry-wise, spiritually, for me to accomplish in the next few years or 2019? We're never guaranteed a tomorrow, so to speak. And so we need to be focused on, let's get things done now and in anticipation that someday we are going on to be with the Lord in heaven or He's coming back. To get started in this pursuit, okay, the first thing I want to do is maybe help take off some of the spiritual blinders. Maybe some would even call them rose-colored glasses, okay, or easy believism that implies that accomplishing your life's goals, being successful, reaching out and going for those dreams and accomplishing and achieving them, that it will always be smooth and easy and simple and a cakewalk, right? Anybody ever been in a cakewalk? Remember those? They used to play music, and if you stopped on the right one, you won a cake. I think Elijah, when he was like 4, we were up in North Dakota at one of those things, and somehow he got a cake out of it. Life's not always like a cakewalk, okay? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For," Jesus says, "my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, many have taken that scripture and applied it to their life. Okay, rightfully so. It's scripture, right? We apply that to our life. But then they become frustrated when things don't seem all that easy and light. Okay, I'm applying this. What's going wrong? And so they begin to question. Maybe I'm not believing enough. Maybe, you know, the scripture didn't mean what I thought it meant. Maybe, and they begin to get frustrated with it. I used to believe that the only difficulty that a Christian should ever have to endure was for outright persecution for your faith. I believe that for a long time, that you know what? If I'm going through stuff, it's some sort of persecution for my faith. I mean, after all, you can look at the Bible, guys like Peter, John, they were in prison for their faith. Jesus was beaten, crucified, hung on a cross. Okay, all because of their relationship with God, right? That's outright persecution. The Apostle Paul, when he came to Jesus, he was, stoned to the point of death, left for dead, okay, more than once because of his faith. That's direct persecution. That is people saying, you know what? You believe in Jesus, you're under my wrath. Okay, that's direct persecution. And all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer some sort of persecution. I've shared before about, you know, getting threatened to be beat up and windows knocked out of my car and somebody kicked my motorcycle over and all those kinds of things. That was direct persecution. They didn't like this Jesus guy leading those druggies out of the drug world because that's where I came out of and I'm leading people out. They didn't like that. I got pegged right away. I was the narc, even though I wasn't. But that's what they pegged me as because it created that whole culture that was against that one guy, and that was me. Okay? Well, that stuff is persecution. That's direct persecution. That's living in this world as a believer and outwardly enough with your faith that it bothered people. But a closer look at the scriptures shows that the disciples, Peter, Paul, John, all these guys, they lived in this fallen world. And they had to endure many trials, some of them just small things, some of them big things, that were not directly because of their faith in God. Think about Peter. His mother-in-law got sick to the point she almost died. Okay? You can imagine that was pretty stressful on Peter and his wife. Okay? If you've ever gone through those kind of things, it's stressful. Okay? That was something he had to endure. I don't think that was a direct relation because of, you know, he was a believer that was happening to him. The Apostle Paul, after being arrested for his faith, being persecuted and arrested for his faith, he had to endure his ship that he was on encountering a big storm and began to sink and eventually did sink. And he had to spend all night and a day in the deep, it says, or in the water, floating, hanging onto a board. I can't imagine. I don't like floating, hanging onto an inner tube for 5 minutes waiting for the boat to come back. You know, I can't imagine doing it all day and night. Okay, then eventually after he did make it to dry land, if you remember, the Apostle Paul, it was cold, so they got on this island and they build a fire and Paul goes to throw sticks on the fire and what happens? A snake leaps out and bites him on the hand. Okay, again, things that were happening in his life that came from more of just life's natural circumstances, things that happen that they had to endure. If you think about it, even Jesus had to deal with the affairs of life on earth. Okay? He lived as a man on earth just like you and I. Okay? He had times when he probably got pretty hungry. I know that they didn't have convenience stores. They didn't have grocery stores along the way. And some of the treks and things that he did, sometimes he just got so busy he forgot to eat. I guarantee it. Have you ever done that? I've done it many times. You're out working, doing stuff, and all of a sudden it's 2:30 and you forgot to eat lunch. Okay? Well, I'm sure that there are times that when it came time to 2:30 eat lunch, he didn't have lunch, okay? And he was probably hungry, okay? There were days when he probably walked 15 or 20 miles in a day until his feet were hurting, okay? Until his feet got tired. We don't like to think that sometimes about Jesus. He was perfect in all his ways and none of this bad stuff ever happened. Jesus still had to go to the bathroom. He still had to do the same kind of stuff. He still had to eat. He still had to do the same kinds of things that you and I do. Okay, he got physically exhausted at times. You can imagine. I've done ministry conferences and those kind of things, and when you're preaching 4, 5, 6 hours in a day, that alone is enough to wear you out. You go home and you sleep pretty sound that night. I can't imagine doing what he did all day long sometimes. People following him. He could never get away, never have that private hotel room. He could go and take a nap or any of that kind of stuff. He dealt with it all the time. His feet got dirty. He got rocks in his sandals. Okay? If you've ever worn sandals a lot, you know, I wore them when I went to South America on a mission trip, and I remember it was just hot. It was like 9,500 degrees, and the humidity was so high and all that. I was a sandal guy, and so I wore my sandals all the time, and I got rocks in my shoes all the time because in that part of the country, you walked everywhere you went. Okay, or in that part of the world. So we did a lot of walking. You got rocks in your sandals. I'm sure Jesus, at times, got rocks in his sandals, had to stop and kick them out. Okay, he was God walking in human form on earth, but he still had to deal with everyday life just like you and I do. Okay, he was a carpenter. Okay, a guy that worked with wood. I've been, in the firewood business, and my sons and I doing that kind of stuff. I've got more cuts, dings, bruises, slivers than you can imagine. And I imagine that Jesus got a few splinters off of boards. Okay, he probably bent over a few nails, or if they use the wooden ones, probably broke a few off, or you know, he maybe even dropped a board or two on his toe. Who knows? Okay, he had to deal with life. That kind of work is like that. In firewood stuff, I tell you, I have a bruise up here on my hip right now. It's about the size of a pop can is what it ended up being. But it's from a chainsaw that caught a log that shot it up and hit me right up here in the thigh. Okay, I've got other scars and stuff. I know my kids do from, you know, throwing logs and it bounces and hits them in the shin. You know, you end up with a bruise. That kind of stuff is just that kind of work. I imagine Jesus had to deal with a lot of that same kind of stuff. He had brothers, right? Here, catch. Throwing boards at him or whatever it was. He had stuff he had to deal with. He was God in human form, but he still had to deal with life. And these kinds of things didn't happen to him as persecution. Okay, so many Christians have been taught. We've been deceived into thinking that life is always peachy, it's never difficult, never hard. Okay, thinking that everything should be handed to them on a silver platter. So then when things do get a little bit hard and a trial comes up, you start breaking your pencil lead or your computer freezes up, or you know, God forbid you go through a drought or a lean time in life, or you know, a job change or something that is challenging and hard to deal with. People are ready to throw in the towel. They're going to walk away and just focus on just that and leave God out of the picture because I've just got to deal with life right now. But one thing that was instilled in me as a child that's still true today is that quitters never win. Okay, quitters never win. If you go out, you know, you're playing a sport or you're playing a game and you get up and you walk away, you're not going to be the winner. You're not going to win. The same is true, though, that those that do receive God's help and get back up and go at it again and stick with it and go at it, they are going to persevere. Okay, they are going to come out on top. People get frustrated with God sometimes when things don't go as planned, or, you know, somebody imposes their will on them or pressures them to go in a different direction. Okay? Jesus had to deal with constant pressure to go a different direction. Okay, constantly, people trying to sway him off, even Peter and those that were really close to him saying, "Lord, let it not be so. These things will never happen to you." And yet Jesus knew that that was the direction he was supposed to be going. Do you think Jesus never had to deal with people? And by that I don't mean, you know, the nice people. I mean the mean people. Okay? The kind of people that say cruel things to him. The kind of people that mocked him or rejected him or tried to control him. People that, because of them being real self-centered, they would step on his toes, their arrogance, pride coming through. And he had to deal with that stuff all the time. He had to deal with difficult people on a daily basis. He had to put up with guys that wanted to exalt themselves in the kingdom without putting in the time as a faithful servant. He had to deal with Peter cutting off a guy's ear. Remember that? Peter draws a sword, cuts off a guy's ear. Jesus reaches up, heals the ear. Okay, Jesus had to deal with that kind of stuff. Peter's defending him 1 minute, and then outright denying even knew Jesus the next. Okay? You talk about flaky, flip-floppy people. Okay? Anybody ever met somebody like that? You had to deal with that? They're on 1 minute, they're telling you one thing, and then the next day you go back and it's a totally different story. Or they just go back on their word altogether. They don't keep what they said they were going to do. Okay? That's wishy-washy, flip-floppy, flaky people. And Jesus knew all about it. He knew how to deal with that. So if you're looking for a reason not to progress, okay, if you're looking for a reason to kind of keep the status quo, or, you know, that these things that you have to deal with, that they're just always going to be there, you're not going to be successful in life, if you're looking for a reason to stick with all that, you'll find one. You can have it. But I believe that 2019 is time to let go of the excuses and just start moving forward with your life. Putting one foot in front of the other, getting some things done that have been held back or holding you back and not getting you into the place where God wants you to be. The key to progressing, hey, I'll give you this, if you want to write one thing down, this would be it. The key to progressing and success as a Christian is to trust in Jesus and turn over the outcome or the results to Him. Okay? Turn it over to Jesus. Okay? You won't be so afraid to step out and to try something new if you put the pressure for the good or bad outcome on Jesus. Okay? You have to trust that He knows best and that He is going to lead you in that right direction. That He is going to show you what needs to be done. I know we talked about this on Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Luke. And Luke chapter 5 gives the story of Peter when he's first called by Jesus. And he tells him, "You're going to become a fisher of men." Okay, Peter found out pretty quickly that trusting in Jesus' spoken word was very prosperous. Okay, it put him in the right place at the right time so that he could be successful. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 4. Now when Jesus had got done speaking, he says unto Simon, Peter, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering and says unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night long and have taken in nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Peter put the outcome on Jesus when he said, "At thy word, I will let down the net." So if Peter would have failed, if they would have not caught any fish, if they would have toiled all day long, this was during the daytime, but if they'd have been out and went to the same places and never caught any fish, do you think he would have condemned himself for it? No. The success or the failure was literally on Jesus' word. He was following what Jesus said to do. Okay, and I said this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. God does not mind if you put the pressure back on him for the success or failure of it. He is waiting for you to do that oftentimes so that he can get that thing accomplished in your life. Jesus was the one that prompted Peter to go back out after he had already been out and fished till he was physically exhausted. It's morning. They had fished all night long. He had done everything he knew to do. He had fished where he knew the fish usually were. He put his net as deep as he thought the fish usually were and all those things, but it hadn't worked out. But Jesus tells him to go back out. That's how you keep your burden easy and light. It's by turning it back over to Jesus. Okay, the world is full of people who have failed at things repeatedly in life and yet kept striving for their dream until they saw the results that they were looking for. Okay, in his book, somebody heard of Tim Tebow. Okay, in his book called Know Who You Are, Live Like It Matters, Tim Tebow, who himself had to deal with a lot of failures and mistakes, cited some stories about some people that you've all probably heard of. One of them was Michael Jordan. Okay, Michael Jordan, who has been described as the best professional basketball player of all time. In one of his television ads, Michael Jordan said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." We're talking about a guy that helped his team to win 3 consecutive NBA championships, and then he retired. Then Michael Jordan came out of retirement and won 3 more consecutive NBA championships with his team. But when this guy was a sophomore in high school, he didn't even make the varsity team. They told him he wasn't good enough. Guys like Thomas Edison, many of you know of him. America's most well-known inventor was told as a boy that he was stupid, wasn't smart enough. Yet before his death, he would hold 1,093 U.S. patents and invent life-changing devices like the phonograph, the incandescent light bulb, and the movie camera. He invented the light bulb after reportedly 10,000 failed attempts. But listen to what he had to say about it. Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. And when I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work." Think of that attitude. Many, many people have experienced failures in life, and yet they change the course of human history. Don't ever let failure stop you from being ambitious or trying new things, stepping out in faith. Every day is an opportunity to learn and grow from your mistakes, to try something different. You might have failed at something yesterday, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's more important to get back up and try it again and keep at it. So what are your dreams? What are the visions that God has given you for your life? What has God kind of laid down inside that you keep thinking about that someday, maybe I'll do that. Someday I'd love to do that. Those are the things that I'm talking about this morning. Where have you sensed in your spirit for a long time that God is wanting to take you? Now, I don't mean you're going to have to pack your bags after church and head down to South Africa in the morning. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I have found that about 9 out of 10 times when God wants to take you somewhere and wants to do something in your life, it's not going to be across the country or around the world. It's going to be right where you are right now. Don't let the enemy convince you that it can't happen or that you don't have the resources or the funding to get it done. Because your Father God has access to everything you need for total and complete victory. All the success that you need is waiting on God. He is just waiting for you to apply your faith to say, Father, I'm stepping out. Father, I'm going for it. Okay, maybe 2019 is a year that you've decided you want to become more spiritually minded. Okay, the Word of God coupled with this Holy Spirit is the way that you're going to get that done. Okay, it comes from the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Okay, we set out, we had some family goals about, I think it was 3 weeks ago. We sat down, we had to write them down in our journals, and one of my goals was to memorize more Scripture than I ever have in 1 year. I've already memorized four. Okay, that's not four new ones. I believe me, I've got a lot of Scripture memorized, but four new ones that I have never memorized. I'm going through each book of the Bible, and by the time I get done, I should have at least 60 new memorized in a short amount of time. It is so simple in today's day and age to do that. Okay, an app on the phone. Anybody carry a phone? Some of you got yours with you this morning. It is so simple to do that. I'll give you the name of that app if you want it later. You have access in this day and age to the Word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have smartphones, you have tablets, you have internet. We can stream this stuff. When I was younger, I've told before, I used to get the tape player that would flip sides on the tape so that I could put in a tape at night as I went to bed at night, and it would just keep playing over and over and over all night long. Okay, and then in the mornings while I'm getting ready, I'd hit the mode so that it wouldn't flip over, and I put in one tape and then follow with the second one, and I could listen to a whole, you know, book or whatever it was. You don't have to do that anymore. You stream the Bible all day long if you want. Okay, that's the way our society works. You have access to it. So there's nothing that is stopping you or keeping you from being able to hear the Word of God, memorize more Scriptures, except for your own excuses. For several years on different jobs, I used earbuds, okay, while I was at work. And some people think, oh, don't do that. It's, you know, bad for your employer. But I would get one of those earpieces. I got a really nice one, finally, that was a Bluetooth one that connected to my phone. And I could, with two taps, I could be listening to the Word of God all day long on my ear. While the other one, I'm still dealing with business, talking to people, doing what I needed to do. And the people around me in the work environments, I was supposed to be talking on the phone to people and dealing with that kind of stuff, so they didn't think anything of it. And the whole time, I'm listening to sermons, I'm listening to worship music, I'm you know, listening to scriptures or whatever was going on, and just had that streaming all day long. And I don't think I was hurting my employer any, because it made my day go better. It made me work just as fast, if not faster, and I was more productive. I had a happier demeanor. Okay, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Okay, you're not cussing somebody out when you listen to the Word of God. You can try it. It doesn't work very well, right? Okay, praying in the Spirit. Okay, I talked about the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, something I do it every day. And it's one of those things that we have free access to, the Holy Spirit, His power. We let Him do and flow through our lives, and we begin to let His utterance come out. I do it all day long. Okay, I can do it when I'm laying in bed, before I get out of bed. Okay, I can do it in the shower. I do it while I'm driving down the road. I do it while I'm out feeding the cows. I do it while I'm cutting firewood. I do it while I'm walking into the grocery store. I do it while I'm in the grocery store. Okay, you can do it anywhere. There's nothing that keeps you from being able to do that. And walking and praying in the Spirit changes your day for the better every single time. And it begins to set things up in the spiritual realm so that things start clicking. Okay, it makes the things of God start falling into place. Okay, so that the thing that you wanted to happen, you need to call so-and-so and tell them something, and all of a sudden you turn the corner and there they are right in front of you. Hey, I was going to call you. Okay, those things happen all the time when you're praying in the Spirit. If 2019 is the year that you want to accomplish some things, let's say it's the year that you decide you want to be in better physical shape. You want to lose some weight. You want to strengthen your muscles. You want to have more energy. Then pray and ask God to put it in motion. Okay? Ask Him what to put in motion. And then get it done. Commit to following through with it. Okay? If you need to buy some equipment or a new pair of shoes, then make that your starting place. You know what, Lord? I'd really like to exercise, but I need a new pair of shoes. Then make that your starting place and start saving a couple bucks a week until you get enough to do that. At least you're putting it in motion, okay? If you need an accountability partner, you need somebody to help kind of make sure, well, how'd your exercise go today? Well, I didn't do it. Well, you need to do it tomorrow. Okay, you can do that. Set up an accountability partner, somebody to help keep you on track. Okay, there's so many things out there today with technology to keep you on the right track. Okay, there's apps that workout teams put and get together that helps keep them functioning, you know, so that they know that, you know, Gary did 792,000 steps today and they only did 800 steps today. And you get to see that stuff in real time. If you need that kind of support, then go that direction. If you don't need it, then do what needs to be done. Get those things done. Give you that ongoing motivation. Some people I know kind of downplay New Year's resolutions because they say, oh man, you shouldn't set New Year's resolutions. People start out and they only do it for a month or two. But I tell you what, if you're only healthy for 2 months out of the year, that's 2 months more than the guy that didn't set a goal and go for it. Okay? If that's, you know, you only got 10 more to go, right? You got off to a good start. That's pretty good. Okay? And the reality is that failure is not your destiny anyway. As a believer, you have access to the Almighty God. He's already in you. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looks on him and he says, with men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. That means the motivation that you need is possible. Okay, the changing of your mindset that it'll never happen is possible with God. The energy to do what needs to be done is possible. The time and the resources to accomplish your goals are possible. They are all within reach because Jesus is in you. Okay, things like getting out of debt, being financially free, it is possible. Okay, if you're unsure how to go about it, start asking around. Pray. Start with God and asking Him to show you some things. He may point you to somebody. He says, go talk to so-and-so. They've already done it. Go talk to somebody that knows how, somebody that knows somebody. Okay, and God can begin to line up those relationships and put you in the right place to get some of those things done. I guarantee you that somebody knows how to get done what you want to do. Somebody's probably done it before. Billions of people on this earth, right? Okay, somebody has probably done it before. I think there's close to 8 billion now or somewhere around there, and there's already been that many on the earth. Out of 16 billion, somebody probably did something similar to what you're trying to accomplish. So we go find them. God will point you in the right direction. You don't want to wait. You don't want to put these things off any longer because of whatever excuse that we've made up. Now's the time to do something about it. Okay, those things that have bothered you for years can be overcome. They don't have to be there next year at this time. Have that attitude of Joshua and Caleb. And when it came to going into the promised land, you remember all the naysayers were there and they're all gathered together and they're all complaining and making up excuses and why we can't do this and we shouldn't go in. And Caleb stands up, quiets down the people. Okay, he wants everybody to hear this because this is coming right from the heart of God. And he gets everybody quiet. Numbers 13:30. He simply said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That came from God down inside of him. God had made them a promise and he was holding to it. Okay, that was his, at thy word, let thy net down. God had already given him that word, that this is your promised land. And so he says, let's go in. What are we waiting for? In other words, God is with us. Let's go take what God wants us to have. Okay, God wants you to have good health in your body. God wants you to be financially free. Okay, God wants you to be prosperous and everything you're touching starts prospering and getting things done. God wants you to accomplish some of those dreams that he has put inside of your heart. Okay? God doesn't want you to be dealing with constant pain and sickness in your body. Okay? That ailment's been struggling, bugging you for a long time. This is the time for that to be healed. Start speaking to it. Start telling it, you know what? Back, you're not going to hurt me today. My God, in Jesus' name, my God lines you up. My God gets you in the perfect order. My God says, this is the way it's going to be today. And you begin to speak to that. You start speaking to it in the name of Jesus. And if God leads you to go to a doctor, God leads you to go to a chiropractor, or God leads you to go to a dentist, then you go. You put it in motion. Set yourself up. Put it in motion and go. And God will provide for it. Sometimes you just have to step out in faith. You have to believe that the solution is certainly better than what you currently have. Okay, how long do you want to deal with stuff? How long, you know, are you going to deal and put up with that pain in your body or those kind of things? We need to at least get the attitude that, you know, something is better than what I currently have, and I need to put it in motion because it probably couldn't get any worse. Okay? Sometimes you just step out in faith. There were some men described in the Bible, 2 Kings, that came to that conclusion. Okay, there was a famine in the land. If you know the background, there was a famine in the land. They were tired of being tired and hungry. Okay? They had contracted leprosy and they had been expelled out of the city to the place where there was even less food. They were going to perish out there. And they got the attitude that we don't want to perish with an empty stomach. We're at least going to go that far. We're at least going to do that much. Okay, the Syrian army was there and they had set up a camp outside of Samaria. And the word had gotten around that they had food in that Syrian camp. Now the probability of them going into that camp was and living was not very high. Okay, but these leprous men, figuring that they only had a certain number of days left on this earth anyway, and they figured they were going to die one way or another anyway, that they might as well die with food in their bellies if it was possible. And so here's their story. 2 Kings chapter 7. It says there's four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city as well, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we're going to die here anyway. We're going to die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the army of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired us, the kings of Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and they fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys and the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. And when these leopards came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and they carried out the silver and the gold and the clothing, and they went and they hid it. And then they came and they entered into another tent, and they did with that one too, and they went and hid that. Here's these guys that they just, four of them, decide, you know what? We're going to die anyway. Let's at least try to die with some food in our bellies. Let's just do this. And they got up and they went into the host or the army of Syria. That army thought that they heard thousands of chariots and men and horses coming at them. They just heard the footsteps of four guys. And God magnified that to the point that it scared the whole army and they left everything behind them. If you read on, it says they left their clothing, they left all kind of stuff along the trail on the way because they were just scrambling to get out of there. They thought this huge army was coming after them. And these four lepers ended up going and had enjoyment of whatever they wanted for that amount of time. Now, you don't have leprosy, thank God, but you do have a limited number of days on this earth. You can either go through life in pain, you can be discouraged about your weight, your finances, you can be bogged down with debt, whatever, or you can step out in faith and you can go for it. Some of you have been wrestling with some besetting sins and things that have held you back for years. How much longer are you going to let those things hold you back? How much longer are you going to wake up with that guilt feeling? Or how much longer are you going to have to go and apologize for what you did this time or that time? 2019 is the year for your victory in that area. Now's the time to say, enough is enough. I'm ready. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It reminds us to lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's time to let go of the weight that's slowing you down and just start running that race that is set before you. It's time to start running that race that is down inside your heart that you know that God is calling you to. You know, when the priests were encouraging the people of God before they went out into battle, they reminded them, Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, They said, for the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Remember what Romans 8:31 says. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all that we need, all things? You know, once you hear from God through the Holy Spirit what to be done next, then you have some determination stuff that needs to rise up in you. You start determining that you're going to go for it and not let up until you see the victory. Not let up until you see it gone. Not let up until you see it come to pass, whatever it is. No matter how long it takes. Hey, don't give up too soon. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Stick with it. Revitalize your determination. Hebrews 12 said, or chapter 6, verse 12 reminds us, by faith and patience we inherit the promises. You know, the answer and the solution are on their way. So start anticipating that. God is for you. He is not against you. He is on your side. He wants to accomplish some things in your life. So anticipate success. Anticipate victory. Anticipate the good things in 2019. You can accomplish your goals this year. Start by setting some. Okay? Start by setting some. Okay? Don't just go through life without any hope. Nothing to hope for. Nothing to plan for. Okay, I'm not saying it's all going to come to pass exactly like you write it down on paper, but at least set yourself up with a good bucket list. Okay, and at the top of that list, set your priority to be closer with God and to keep Him involved in it, and He'll bring the rest of that stuff to pass. Okay, that young man I described in the beginning set himself up with a bucket list. They may or may not accomplish everything on it, but at least they've got some goals. At least they're going somewhere with it. They've already done 2, 3, 4, 5 of those things that are on this list. So they're better off than they were before they had that list. Pray about what should be on your list. Keep it in your relationship with God right at the top, and then He's going to help accomplish the rest of it. He'll ensure that you'll get there. Okay? Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising you this morning. I thank you, Lord. I've been encouraged by your word, Lord, and I know that you've got some things you're doing this year, Lord. It's going to be a good year. We're going to grow and we're going to prosper in our personal family and in this ministry and church. And Father, that beyond this, we're reaching out to a community of lost believers. Father, I believe we're going to see more people coming to know you this year than we did last year. I praise you for that. I believe that we're seeing things already put in motion, Father, that are bringing things to happen and causing your will to be done in this community. And Lord, I praise you for each one of the people in here, Lord. Give them that motivation down inside and stir it up and keep it stirred up, Lord, that we grow and we prosper together, that people's lives are changed and transformed from the ground up, if necessary, Lord. You're building those foundations of things that you want done in our life, Lord, and let us continue to go forward as we grow and strive in our relationship with you, allowing you to fulfill and to accomplish all those things, Lord. We're praising you, Father. We thank you. Give you all the glory and all our hope is in you. All our faith is in you, not in ourselves. All that peace that we need to accomplish things, all that understanding comes from you. Father, we trust in you. We put and rely on you and your word. Father, we praise you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Give God some glory. Give Him some praise for your life. God is doing some good things. Sometimes you got to look. Be grateful. Not trying to promote discontent.